Hello, good evening. Welcome to Saturday Sport on Manx Radio AM. I'm Dave Moore. As usual, we're talking football, hockey and rugby. On a day of shocks in local football. And of course, we'll be looking forward to tonight's FC Isle of Man game at the Bowl, of which we'll have live commentary here on Manx Radio AM from 6:30. So as I intimated a moment ago, massive shock today in the FA Cup. Plenty of goals elsewhere in the quarterfinals of the Woods Cup, the Premier League and Division 2. And in rugby, a crushing defeat for Douglas. So it's been a busy day of sport here in the Isle of Man. And we'll start by bringing you some Saturday sport classified results, beginning with football and the ECAP FA Cup first round. Ayr United 9, Jims 1, Ramsey 6, Castletown 1, Rushen United 2, Maloo 4. In the ECAP FA Cup quarterfinals, Corinthians 3, Peel 1. In the GH Corlett Woods Cup quarterfinals, Douglas Athletic 0, St John's United 10. In the Canada Life Men's Premier League, Laxey 4, Douglas Royal 1. St George's 1, Union Mills 0. In Division 2, Governors Athletic versus Douglas and District is a late result. Pulrose United 1, Foxdale 12. The Canada Life Combination 1. Douglas High School All Boys 2, Rushen United 3. Maroun Ramsey is a late result. Peel 2, Ramsey Youth Centre and All Boys 0. In combination 2, Braddon 6, Pulrose 0. Foxdale 0, Castletown 3. Maloo 0, Colby 4. And Onchan 5, Michael 1. On to the rugby. And in the North 1 West, Firwood Waterloo 69, Douglas 3. In the Ravenscroft Manx Cup, PDMS Southern Nomads 14. Ramsey 36 and Douglas Celts 39, Vagabonds 17. On to hockey and the Rossborough Mixed Under-16s, Vikings 4, Castletown 1. The MHA Men's Cup, Ramsey 0, Vikings 3. And in the MHA Women's Cup, Valkyries B 2, Castletown 1. And Valkyries 4, Vikings 2. And the only other result we have is MHA Women's Plate, and that's Ramsey B 1, Harlequins 10. So, we'll be talking hockey later with Sam Spooner, and Dave Christian will be giving us the details on what happened in the rugby. But we start, as ever, with our summariser for football, Tony Meppham. Tony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Of course, we'll be talking FC Isle of Man, their game against Cheadle Heath Nomads later on, after last week's spectacular victory for FC Isle of Man. We'll be trying to find out as well what the league leaders have been up to this afternoon. But first of all, let's concentrate here in the Isle of Man with the FA Cup and game of the day, result of the day. I seem to remember a couple of weeks ago we discussed this. You said, yeah, Russian all the way. And I kind of hinted that Malou might have a chance being a Southern derby. I don't know if you recall this.
I do.
And anyway, yeah, what a game down at Croit Lowy this afternoon. A Southern derby, a cup fixture, two great old rivals, and it went the way of the underdog.
Yeah, absolute tremendous result for Malou. And, you know, when you heard the first goal had gone in, Jamie Cadwallader it was, from the penalty spot to give Russian the lead, you just thought, yeah, you'd expect it, because when you look at Malou third in Div 2, Russian is second in the Premier League, it was, you know, Russians to lose, and that's what's happened, because Darren Tartar got the equaliser to make it 1-1. Then Tartar went on and got a couple more goals, so he completed his hat-trick. And Jordan Kreipner, or Kieran it was, sorry, Kreipner, who got a goal for Malou. And I think he had a good chance as well just before Russian had scored their second goal. But Adam Kinley had made it 2-1 to Russian. And then, as I say, Malou just hung in there, played really good stuff, and got a little note in, so we might as well read it. It's clean. What a great effort from Malou lads today. Missing a fair few players. No Jamie Skillen, no Daniel Swan, no Daniel Thirlwell, no Dean Kinley. Hats off to the lads that stepped up and put on a real shift. This is a result that you don't get very often against a top club. Well done to Malou today. Well deserved it. Brilliant result, and congratulations to everyone at Malou.
I think if any of the Malou lot are listening, or certainly if they've got whoever's in charge of their Twitter account, if anyone remembers the last time Malou beat Russian United, that would be interesting. I think that would be a long, long time ago.
Well, I asked that question at lunchtime. I couldn't even remember, Dave, the last time Malou played in, well, it won't have been the Premier League. It will have been Division One.
80s,
now, I remember that 80s.
Early 80s.
Yeah, I remember that. But, you know, since then, you know, Malou have had it tough. You know, at times they've not been able to field combination teams, but they seem to have changed things around. The clubhouse has been refurbed. Good job. The pitch is superb. The whole facilities are good. And yes, you know, a trustee left them some money to do something with the club, and it looks as if they've got it absolutely spot on, because that's an amazing result for them. You know, at times, you know, Malou disciplinary-wise on the pitch can be a little bit heated, but today they've got it right, and Don Tartar seems to be some player, doesn't he? Have to keep an eye on him. But, you know, Russian go out, and Malou go through into the next round, and they'll play Douglas High School All Boys next Saturday.
Brilliant. OK.
At home.
I have some breaking news.
Go on.
I have some breaking news. A result from the Northwest Counties League, Division 1 South. The final score, Withenshaw Amateurs 2, West Didsbury and Chorlton 1. So there's an incentive again. If FC Isle of Man needed one to go back on top this evening against Cheadle Heath Nomads, the league leaders getting beat 2-1. Their second defeat in three games, of course, following last week. And I believe they won in midweek.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe cracks are appearing. The pressure is on, you know, so that, you know, a little bit more incentive for FC Isle of Man this evening.
Well, it is, definitely. And there's a change of personnel tonight as well. You know, there's two or three, we'll come to that later, familiar faces missing. But it is pressure on. And, you know, I keep saying to Rob, and I've said to yourself and to Paul Moran, is they've got an awful lot of games to play. There's cup games coming in midweek. They're way behind with the fixtures. And, you know, you're looking for the players coming in. You're picking up injuries like FC Isle of Man have got. It's pressure, pressure, pressure. And this is where, you know, sort of championships and playoff places are won by hanging in there when the pressure's on and getting the results.
Yeah, so there we go. So we'll look at a little bit more into that later in the programme. But West Didsbury and Chorlton going down 2-1 this afternoon away at Withenshaw Amateurs. Yeah, so game on for this evening. And of course, if I need to remind you, you can hear live commentary of tonight's game between FC Isle of Man and Cheadle Heath Nomads here on Manx Radio AM with Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppham. Just back to that Malou game, 1-1 at half-time, and, you know, a reasonable-sized crowd down there. You'd expect maybe a few more. There's about 120 down there, but you'd like to think there'd been a few more down there for a Southern derby. But certainly, Malou winning. From what I gather, it was a 50-50 kind of game anyway. So, you know, I don't know if you can add any more to that.
Not really. Just the information that I had coming through was that, you know, Russian, you know, were doing all right. But it's towards the end. And when you look at when the goals went in, you know, a couple of goals, not right at the end, but towards the end of the game. And, you know, Malou just managed to hang in there. But what Malou have got to concentrate, OK, it's nice having a cup run, but they want promotion. And when you look at Onken, you look at, you know, and, you know, you've got Foxdale, Onken, St John's and Maloo. They're the four teams. They've got to play each other and everything as well. So that's what they're after. They want to come back into the Premier League because, as we've seen with results today, we've seen results recently. There's no sort of standout teams like Geordies, Corinthians over the last couple of years. You know, Peel have been brought back into the pack. So have Corinthians. You know, and Ayr United, who were fifth last year, looks like they're going to be crowned champions this year. So it's all change. And
it is.
You know, you can get in there and stay, hopefully.
But you can, on the flip side, with what you're saying, Tony, you said to Malou, OK, you can have a choice. You can have a cup or you can have promotion. I mean, would you want promotion? Sorry?
It's only one winner, promotion.
Well, yeah, but again, to maybe struggle in the Premier League next season and then maybe come back down, as opposed to being, you know, okay, just missing out on promotion this year. I know this is all ifs and buts, but this, you know, this is what football's all about, isn't it? You know, whereas a cup, a medal, that can't be taken away from you. You know, certainly, and also as well, what I was going to mention was you were saying with, you know, the keep their eye on the prize of promotion, but they're on a great run of form at the moment, winning at Onken last week in the cup, beating Rushen as well, beating Onken in the league as well. So win, if you're losing in the cup but winning your league games, that's fine. But when you're on a run and you keep winning and winning and winning and you get in the groove, the confidence is there within, you know, this is what we know we can achieve. And they know if they can beat Rushen, they can beat any team, as they've shown in Division 2. They can beat Onken, they can beat anyone, with maybe the exception of possibly Ayr United. I mean, again, old boys will be now thinking, whereas before, old boys would have been thinking, oh yeah, it's Maloo, second division. Now they'll be thinking, if they can beat Rushen 4-2 on their ground, then we've really got to pull our socks up, you know, in the next round.
Yeah, I think the massive plus for them, Dave, is that's the fourth game on the bounce that they scored for.
Yeah.
They've beaten Onken twice, 4-3. Mm-hmm. They've beaten Rushen today, 4-2. That's a good performance. And, you know,
that's a great performance.
Arguably, I'll probably get shut down for this one. Arguably, their best player is not playing at the moment, James Gillen. Uh-huh. I think he's absolutely superb player.
Isn't it great, though, for the club that if their best player isn't playing and they're winning and not having to rely on him?
Well, it is. And that's where, you know, everything sort of has changed a little bit in football over the last sort of 12 months. But when you say they go up and they struggle, I know what you're going to throw back at me and go, well, look at Ramsey Youth Centre, they're going to go straight back down. But I watched Ramsey Youth Centre last week play against Douglas Royal. One player I recognised from last year for Ramsey Youth Centre. So what's the point of working your socks off, getting your team promoted, and then you think, this is going to be tough, I'm out. And they go off to other clubs. Now, I don't think now, my personal view is that bottom of the Premier League is tough to stay in now. Because, you know, before you had your four or five standout sides, they're not now. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got Ramsey third. They finished, what was it, sixth last year. Mm-hmm. You've got Ayr, who are probably going to finish league champions. They finished fifth last year. Corinthians, Rushen, St George's, St Mary's have gone. Mm. All those top three sides now have all come back into the pack. Mm-hmm. Laxey today had a great result in the league. St George's playing against a team in the bottom three, bottom four. Uni Mills only just won, so that's how tight it is in there. So I don't think it's a problem if you come up.
Okay, so possibly then Malou's best achievement this season could be not just winning a cup or getting promotion, but actually keeping that group of players together for next year.
That's the hardest part, is to try and keep them there.
Harder than winning a cup, harder than winning promotion?
Yeah, I think the FA Cup, you know, when you look at the teams that are still in there, you've got Corinthians are in there, you've got Laxey,
Ayr United.
You've got Ayr United, Douglas Royal, some tough games in there.
But the Woods Cup, I mean, their old Woods Cup winning team from the 80s with the Lowies and Crabtree and whatever.
Joe Taggart.
That's right. You know, that's still talked about because they've not really had any success since then.
So. Well, they haven't, and that's why they've got to enjoy this. And if they can build from it, because they're in a collective area, aren't they, down south? And when you look at how many players have moved from Colby to Maloo and then gone from Maloo back to Colby. Castletown as well moved around. In there at the moment, they've got some really good players, and this Doran Tartar has been scoring goals, you know, for fun for the last two or three years. So, you know, credit to all the hard work that everyone's done down there. But that's a super result today, beating the second place Premiership side 4-2.
I would love to have met someone who would have said before that game, Maloo will win this. Yeah. But anyway, there you go. The magic of the cup.
Correct.
We nearly had... Well, they nearly had a shock. Jims went a goal up away at Ayr United, But then that was it. Air United just said, hang on a minute, what's going on here? Pulled the socks up and gave him a good old stuffing.
Yeah, we see this so many times where a team in a lower division can take the lead, and then when you look at it at the end, it's quite a hefty score. And that's what happened today for Jims against Ayr. They took the lead, haven't got their goal scorer, but then suddenly Ayr United played really well, and I think it was something like 4 or 5-1 at half-time. Sean Kelly, who's certainly on fire at the moment, he scored a hat-trick. Nick Hurt, manager, doesn't play many games, but he played today. He got three. Declan Cummins got a couple of goals, and Dean Tate got the other one. So a comfortable victory in the end. Ayr 9, Jims 1.
And who did United play in the next round?
Ayr United play next week against Douglas Royal. And the only one that's through is, we'll come to that in a minute, quarter-final game. Mm-hmm. But we've got three games to go ahead tomorrow with the results today. That's Malou against Old Boys, Douglas Royal against Ayr United. And the last quarter-final to be played is Laxey against Ramsey.
Who beat Castletown 6-1 today. Well done, Castletown, getting a game in at last.
Yeah, and that's their second game in 3 months, so they've done well. Fingal Watterson got their goal today for the town. Haven't got Ramsey's goal scorers through, so if someone can text us through, please, 166 177, or send me a text through. We'll get it up on the phone and have a look.
So that was Ramsey beating Castletown 6-1. And in the quarter-finals, we have Corinthians already through to the semi-finals because they saw off Peel 3-1, a great result. And Corinthians, this is their form of late. They've, you know, after a tough start, they've been putting the results together.
Well, they have because, you know, they beat Rushen. Then they played St John's in the Cup. They beat St John's. And then they went on and played Geordies, beat Geordies 3-0. And today, 1-0 down. They were. Rhys Oates, it was, from the penalty spot. Ollie Johnson gave the penalty and Rhys stepped up and scored it. Then Phil Kelly got one in each half, a couple of goals for the right fullback, and Joe Middleton with a clever goal towards the end, one of the good young players coming through there. So what's the view of the game? I thought first half Corinthians could have had another three. They hit the post three times, but they created some chances. Peel had a few chances, but in the second half, you know, Peel played the whole 45 minutes with 10 players. They had a player sent off just at the end of the first half. And it was just one of those games where they looked better with 10, actually. They had a couple of good chances, but Corinthians just stuck at it. And I know they had a sin bin as well, so they went down to 9. And Corinthians go through, and a good performance by Corinthians. They're just getting better with the younger players. I thought Carl Presley was impressive when he came on the second half. Darren Kane and Cameron Lee at the back were strong. Phil Kelly on that right-hand side. Connor Bell, who played today. Adam Killier looked assured in goal. He looked really good. And then midfield, you've got Josh Ridings in there, Kane Ridings. And you've also got Danny Gerrard as well, Ronan McDonald. And then the boys up front, hopefully, will do the business. And that's what happened today.
We've talked in the past about the reasons why they were champions last year and have struggled until, you know, now coming back into some sort of form. What, though, is the feeling within the club? In terms of what after what happened last year and the disappointing start to the campaign and just the general feeling?
We've accepted it, Dave. Mm. Okay, it's not how we would like it to be. Mm-hmm. But then what I do like, and I take my hat off to them, they're up watching today. The FC Isle of Man players, come and watch Corinthians. You know, it's great to see, and that means a lot to me. And I know it does to the club players. But, you know, we proposed, we voted for FC Isle of Man to take place. And we accepted that our players had the opportunity to play in better standard football. They were brilliant for us last year, and I'm sure in times to come they'll be brilliant for us again. But it's hard to take because, like last year, I just wonder if the Hospital Cup had been played, they might have won the Grand Slam. But it was a wonderful season. Those players were totally dedicated to the cause, just like they're dedicated to the cause now for FC Isle of Man. So, no, we're disappointed the way it's gone for us, but we accept the reasons why it's happened.
OK. We'll keep with the Cup, but with the GH call at Woods Cup, the quarterfinals, and St John's marching on into the semis with a 10-0 hammering of Douglas Athletic.
Yeah, and that's a belting result for St John's. And Dean Lees, who's in the Ireland squad, he got 4 goals. Harry Rothwell got 2. Liam Harrison got a couple of goals as well. Well done, Liam. Kieran Lees got 1, and my old mate Scott Rotherham got 1 as well. So St John's, comfortable victory for him in the end. Didn't think it would be that high, Dave.
No.
I thought it would have been a lot closer, but good performance, and quite a few combination players also playing for St John's today, which bodes well for the future.
So where do we stand with the Woods Cup at the moment then? So that's St John's through to the semis?
Yeah, they're in the semis. We've done the semi-final draw off the top of my head. I can't remember it, but, you know, Malou are in there, Foxtel are in there, D&D are in there, St John's are there as well. It's a while before that gets played. It's a couple of weeks yet. We just want to catch up with the FA Cup. Mm-hmm. But as we touched on last week, Dave, and it's still all up in the air, the Woods Cup was originally to be played on Good Friday, the FA Cup on Easter Saturday.
For FC Isle of Man?
If FC Isle of Man reach the playoffs, which they will, they might win the league yet, but if they do go into the playoffs and it's played here at home for the semi-final, that's the 9th of April. And then if they win that, the final is here on the Isle of Man, and that's Easter Saturday. We can't do the FA Cup and FC Isle of Man. FC Isle of Man's league has jurisdiction over ours. So what we're looking at is we'll move the FA Cup final to Good Friday, and we'll move the Woods Cup final probably to Easter Monday. I think Easter Sunday, families like to be together.
Yeah. Okay, so when are we... I mean, obviously, we'll have to find out with the FC Isle of Man, but when is that decision going to be made?
When we know where FC Isle of Man are. They're holding the cards.
Okay.
So we can't make that decision.
But in terms of, I mean, between the end of the campaign, the Northwest Counties League campaign, how much, let's just say it goes to the last game of the season, you know.
Not a week.
Exactly.
Second of April, so there's nothing we can do, but we'll make the teams aware now.
So everyone on standby, basically, and just say, look, this is the situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of the cup finals, we'll just have to wait and see. And okay, it's not ideal, you know, in terms of, you know, preparation and people having time off if they have to work or whatever. That
well,
kind
it's
of
Easter
thing,
Dave, so it's not too bad.
But just, yeah, not too bad. Yeah. But even there will still be, you know, some allowances will have to be made kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, so that's the situation. Once we know if FC Isle of Man, there's a great incentive to win the league.
Well, it
won't be an...
It's a brilliant incentive, Dave, and it's fantastic to see. Okay, it's affecting our league programme, but we put it to the clubs for the 9th of April for the... For the league games, just to see what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, are happy enough for the fixtures to be postponed. The way it is on Easter, we only have two games anyway, which is the two finals. Yep. But it's just that crossover, because we've got to think of our sponsors as well. We can't play the FA Cup on the Monday. Sponsors can't be here. They missed it last year for COVID. Mm. We're in control here. We know what we can do. It's just, unfortunately, and God forbid if it happens, FC Isle of Man don't reach the final, then... we can remain as we are, so it's just one of them.
Yeah, it's one of them. Okay, we'll keep talking about FC Isle of Man, and obviously their game kicks off in about an hour's time. Our reporter down at the bowl is Rob Pritchard, and maybe Rob can join us now with an update of the situation down there. Good evening, Rob.
Very good evening to you, Dave. Welcome to what is a nice and sunny and nice and peaceful bowl stadium as it is. The turnstiles are probably going to open in around 2 minutes time for tonight's clash between FC Isle of Man and Cheadle Heath Nomads. Can the Ravens build on what was an absolutely extraordinary win last time out against West Didsbury and Chorlton? Well, going into tonight's game, thanks to situations around this game, FC Isle of Man could temporarily go back to the top of the NWCFL Division 1 South, and that is because West Didsbury and Chorlton, the league leaders as it stands, lost 2-1 away at Withenshaw Amateurs at Hollyhedge Park earlier this afternoon. So at least temporarily, until West Didsbury have played their games in hand, which are still to come, FC Isle of Man, with a win tonight, would go back to the top of the table. Let's have a look at the two sides, shall we? Just a bit of a head-to-head. Well, it was quite a while back, actually, when the two sides last played, but it was a 2-2 draw on that day, on the 21st of August at the Pro Seal Stadium. Luke Murray and Cameron Avery got the goals for the Ravens that day. A lot of time and a lot of games have elapsed since then. The Ravens sit second in the NWCFL Division 1 South going into this evening, while their opponents, Cheadle Heath Nomads, they come into this 10th, and they'll be looking to bounce back from what was a disappointing 2-0 defeat to 19th place Roaster in mid-week. Well, just taking a look at some team news. We haven't got these starting 11s yet, but just to take a look at the personnel that are available. There are five changes to the FC Isle of Man squad that faced West Didsbury and Chorlton last week. Three of those, at least, we know are enforced, in fact. Lee Gale, Michael Williams, and we've heard this week Steve Whitley has picked up a knock. Those three out injured this time around. So coming into the side tonight is Cameron Avery, Sam Kane, Alex Holden, Adam Meelan and Taylor Andrews, and dropping out are Chris Cannell Ash Higginbottom, Steve Whitley, Michael Williams and Lee Gale. And this weekend marks what could be quite an intense next 2 weeks. Not just a game next week here at the Bowl as well, but either side of that, midweek coming up and the midweek following are two cup fixtures that Chris Bass and his coaching staff will have to navigate when it comes to selection. But that is all to come. The obstacle of Cheadle Heath Nomads stands in their way tonight. And the question, once again, can FC Isle of Man go top of the NWCFL Division 1 South? FC Isle of Man versus Cheadle Heath Nomads, 6:30pm tonight on Manx Radio, AM 1368 and digital.
Now, you're still thinking of the game last week, Rob. Absolutely superb to watch. But it's a change of personnel tonight. But with West Didsbury getting beaten again today, it's advantage FC Isle of Man a little bit for tonight's fixture.
Very possibly. I mean, I don't know whether word has filtered through to the players as such, but yes, I mean, it just adds to that competitiveness at the top. I mean, we've been speaking for the last couple of weeks that West Didsbury and Chorlton have most certainly been the best team in the division so far, and their place in the league is showing that. But a double hiccup in the space of 7 days for them, that won't go down with them too well, considering the incredibly high standards they've set. But FC Isle of Man, it does leave open that possibility that they could be pushing for that top spot in the coming weeks. But a lot of football to be played between now and the end of the season. But yes, it could be viewed as a big chance to close that gap. But no doubt Chris Bass and Lee Dixon, after last weekend's results, will have drilled it into their players during the week that it is very much down to business tonight and down to get what would be an important 3 points. They can really accept nothing less at this stage.
And as you say, there's an awful lot of football to play. They've got 5 games left to play at home, one tonight. But then they've got 2 cup games away, midweek next week and the week after. So the squad is going to be so important to keep them fit, isn't it?
Absolutely. And funnily enough, yourself and I were having this conversation earlier in the day off air. Just in looking at squad depth, as it were. I mean, looking into this game, they are depleted, you might say, in the midfield position, particularly in that central midfield department, with the likes, no Jack McVeigh in today, of course, who can, from that centre-half position, slot into midfield, but no Jack Kamada, no Michael Williams as well. So Chris Bass may have limited options in the centre of the park, but a variety of rich talent out in other areas of the pitch. No doubt he'll be working his tactics in a way that gets around that potential problem. But something just to say, on behalf of Cheadle Heath Nomads, in fact, I mean, they have only 2 wins in their last 6, but their top scorers, Daniel McLaughlin and Kyle Foley, they have a combined 34 goals in the league so far. We'll be eagerly anticipating what the Cheadle Heath Nomads side will be like going into this one. But if those two are included, they could provide a real threat against an FC Isle of Man side we think is probably going to have quite a lot of rotation over the next 2 weeks.
And an important message from FC Isle of Man regarding the fans during midweek after what happened last week.
Absolutely, yes. So for those who haven't seen or heard what that message was, given the celebrations and events that unfolded during that incredible game last week, there were a number of flares and pyrotechnics among both the home and away supporters during that game, and also on a couple of occasions, an incredibly small minority, I should point out, of encroachments onto the pitch. The club actually released a statement this week, a very heartfelt statement thanking the fans for their essential and vital support, and it is always eternally appreciated by the coaching staff, the players and everyone associated with the club. But they have put out that urgent message to please not bring any flares or pyrotechnics into the stadium, and also do not encroach onto the pitch or climb over barriers unless directly instructed to do so by officials for safety reasons. The club has warned that if events like this do continue to happen, whether it's one time or several, it could leave the club open to potential sanctions in future. And the club themselves have said they are not looking to dampen the enthusiasm of fans in any way, shape or form, but they just want to make sure that all fans can attend the Bowl in a safe and enjoyable environment. And very responsible words from the club this week.
So let's just stick to rattles then. You got one more question, did you say, Tony?
Yeah, all it was
very possibly.
Rob, Football Focus at lunchtime, UK, we're talking about FC Isle of Man. What was the information on that?
Well, I can tell you that because I was delighted to see the figures myself. So, yes, the name of that is FC Isle of Man appeared on Football Focus. They were discussing at the time in the studio non-league football attendances last weekend, and FC Isle of Man were ninth in the top 12 non-league attendances across all the leagues. That's including all of those non-league divisions in England. So they're in the top 12 for that game against West Didsbury and Chorlton last week in terms of turnout amongst some of the biggest non-league names there are. And just to name some of those teams that were also in that list, the likes of Wrexham, Chesterfield, York City and Woking and FC Isle of Man were actually above two National League North sides. Boston United was one of them. They had 1,959 last week. And also Hereford of National League North had 1,908. And FC Isle of Man, of course, last week had 2,395. And these are teams several tiers above FC Isle of Man as it stands. And it just goes to put it into numbers, as well as what we hear every single week and see with our own eyes every week, of just the sheer incredible level of support that the club is getting right now.
Thanks, Rob. So Rob Pritchard will be joining us around 20 past six for live commentary of FC Isle of Man against Cheadle Heath Nomads this evening. And you can hear that here on Manx Radio AM. And just to mention the fact that Boston United and Hereford, both former members of the Football League, and Boston United once famously managed by Paul Gascoigne. And Hereford were all, you and I, Rawls, remember, Ronnie Radford against Newcastle. That was 50 years ago in the FA Cup. Anyway, we could talk about that lots of the times. We can crack on, though, come back to the domestic scene. And a couple of really good games today in the Canada Life Men's Premier League. We'll begin with Laxey seeing off Douglas Royal by 4-1.
Yeah, Laxey needed that one today. Bit of confidence in the team ready for the quarter-final in the ECAP FA Cup next week against Ramsey. But today, star Brody Patience, he got a couple of goals. Harry Walters got one. Aaron Bradley got the other. Andy Asbridge scored the consolation goal for Douglas Royal on the 88th minute.
And the other fixture was between St George's and Union Mills. And Union Mills so close to getting something.
Yeah, they were. And, you know, Johnny Myers, the manager of St George's, was very honest and he just said it was a real scrappy game. Kieran McNulty it was who got the goal, so well done to him. And I know Stephen Fox, the manager, just said we lost 1-0, deserved at least a draw and probably should have been up at half-time with their keeper making a few good saves. I think that'll be Ben Wilkinson. Fair play to Geordies, they had a clear chance and scored. So hard one to take, but I'm sure Steve will drown his sorrows with a beer tonight. And a real nice touch from this game as well. A note for the referee, played a blinder today. That's Anthony Page. Credit where credit is due. So well done and congratulations to Anthony.
Let's go down into Division 2 and Foxdale thumping Paul Rose United. They went 12-0 up and then Paul Rose pulled one late back.
Yeah, they did. And it was Callum Dunn who got the goal for Paul Rose. But for Foxdale, touched on at half-time. Two main strikers scored 9 of the goals today. But Jay Chatwood, who's Division 2 Player of the Year last season and also Silver Boot winner, he was out Fox today by Aaron Castain. He got 5. Jay Chatwood with 4. Kevin Pullman got 1. And Jason Charmer with a single goal and an own goal to add as well. So cracking result that for Foxdale. Boosts their goal scoring difference for this promotion race that's going on between Maloo, Onken and St John's.
We had a Douglas derby down at Colby with Douglas and District winning 3-2 away at Governors Athletic. 2-1 at half-time to D&D.
Yeah, I didn't have that score here, Dave, so you've got that information. So
I have.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Kai Stevenson with the first of the D&D goals and then a penalty from Sam Tipper and Daniel Kinley getting the deciding third goal for D&D. I don't have any scorers for Governors Athletic, unfortunately. So, yeah, 3-2 victory for Douglas and District.
Yeah, it's good. And I suppose Douglas and District were favourites to win this one anyway. But, you know, two teams that, you know, always work hard in Division 2. And just a shame we haven't got Governors scorers, just to give them a mention.
OK, let's move into Combination 1. And a result for Russian United at Old Boys, 3-2.
Cracking result, this one. And when I heard how the scoring went, I heard Old Boys team as well, just the way it worked out. Callum Stewart give Old Boys the lead. Then Luke Roberts got the equaliser for Russian. Robbie Ward, player-manager for the first team, who's injured last week, but played today 41 minutes, so 4 minutes before half-time. 2-1 it was to Old Boys, but then Russian got the equaliser on 65 minutes, and then 4 minutes from the end, Joe Reed it was with that so important goal, because to me that's advantage Russian now for this League championship race in combination one. And thanks to Jack Gale for furnishing us with the goal scorers' times and the information as well. Great result, Russian 3, All Boys 2.
And in the other game, Peel beating Ramsey Youth Centre 2-0.
Expected, and Peel's two goals scored by Alec Ekalongu. He got them both.
Okay, and the other game between Maroun and Ramsey?
No score.
Now, I'm just going to have a quick check if... we can see if we... Oh, here we go. Three deserved points for the combination today against Ramsey for Maroun. Not too sure what the score was, but certainly looks like Maroun scored three times, possibly 3-0. Two goals for Ryan Dean and one for Rhys somebody or other. So
Rhys Lake, is it?
Could be. It could well be. Yeah, it could well be. But Maroun certainly... beating Ramsey today to get 3 points in combination one. Let's go on to combination two. We have all of these fixtures, beginning with Braddon's thumping of Paul Rose United.
Yeah, 2-0 up at half-time, 6-0 at the end. One standout player today for Braddon, Aaron Field, he got four. Hayden Gray with one goal and Michael Cannell with the sixth goal there for Braddon.
And Castletown with a 3-0 victory away at Foxdale.
Was a good result, that, I think. Mm. And Ben Shaw with one. Ollie Lee with the second goal and an own goal to complete the scoring there for Castletown.
And Onken, as you'd expect, a 5-1 thumping of Michael United.
Yeah, I haven't got Michael's goal scorer, but for Onken it was Paul Morris, Bernard Aspel, Kieran Brown, and Matthew McNee, and also George Ref Butler got that one. And a note as well, nice to hear, about the referee. It's a lady referee, Janine Doyle. Superb performance today. Both teams very happy. Brilliant. With the way she refereed, and she's getting some good reports. Well done.
More of the same, please. And our final one to look at, Colby's win away at Maloo, 4-0.
Was, and I know you were speaking to a very happy manager. It was 2-0 to Colby at half time.
And that's going up the slope.
Yeah, up the slope. Seb Spears with one, Jordan Edge, Tom Walton, and Finn Mulligan. Now, Finn Mulligan is 16 years of age. Debut game for him today. And a goal as well. So last good day, but unfortunately at 16 he can't drink a beer.
Last kick of the game as well. So that wraps things up. Just before you go, we heard from Rob about tonight's game, FC Isle of Man against Cheadle Heath Nomads. We had touched on it before, but again, we're expecting more of the same.
I'm not so sure.
Really,
the reason why I say that a bit hesitantly, I think our main feed has been down that right-hand side with Steve Whitley and Lee Gale. Not there tonight. Steve Whitley, I believe, has broke his hand. And Lee Gale's got an injury. Mikey Williams has been so impressive. He's injured as well with a hamstring. So it's hard to predict what the starting lineup's going to be. I thought Chris Bass was superb last week in centre midfield. Different position for him. Normally he's on that left-hand side, but you cannot take Dan Simpson away from that at the moment, the way he's playing. So Adam Elan, I would think, will probably come in on that right-hand side, and maybe Sam Baines in the middle alongside Chris Bass. The back four, I think he'll go with Ryan Burns. Then there's Alex Maitland, Sean Quay, and then, Sam Kane on the right-hand side, and Ryan Burns will be on the left-hand side. And then you'll have Sean Doyle, and I think Luke Murray will be your two centres. And then, you've got Simo and Adam, hopefully will pump on that right, left-hand side and deliver the boys... the ball into the middle to try and finish off, because that's their Achilles heel at the moment. That's where they're exploiting teams.
And just touch on last week before you go, at 3-1 down, did you give FC Isle of Man a chance? And what was it about them that brought it back? And did the crowd play its part?
The crowd played a massive part, but I think the players' ability as well. I thought Chris Cannell last week was immense. He took a shot, the goalkeeper couldn't hold on to it, it came off and Sean scored. I thought the ball he delivered out to Steve Whitley for the fourth goal was absolutely fantastic. But the boys keep chipping away. When I saw it 3-1, and it's quite interesting how people judge it, and a few have said, oh, I was a bit disappointed with the performances from both teams. If you find that disappointing, then this is grassroots football. This ain't Man City playing against Liverpool.
Yeah.
This is grassroots football, the start of the league tier, if you
like. More Arsenal.
And I thought it was brilliant. I thought they were good. Harry Kane was immense for them, the number seven. I thought he was really good. The whole team, and it was going to always be a tough game for FC Isle of Man. They're not top of the league for no reason. But a credit again to the large crowd, 2,395 people. Fantastic.
And also you think, I mean, when the campaign started back in August, September time, and FC Isle of Man, okay, a lot of their fixtures were away from home. Well, they were all away from home. But then they were down in 14th after six games, won one and drawn a, drawn three or whatever and lost two at the start off, and were really finding their feet. And at that point you were thinking, nah, you know, okay, it's early days, but I can't see them top of the league. But here we are again. Like a 7 days ago, the opportunity to go back into the number one position.
Yeah, I think when you look at it, Dave, it was the unknown journey. Now, when you look at it, they've had COVID to deal with. This is 2 years to get into their first season. Last year, fixtures were all postponed. The year before, it didn't happen. But at the start of this journey, people have been judging it. Look at Guernsey FC. Mm. Look at Jersey Bulls. You know, what was it? Guernsey 2 years on the bounce, I think it was, promoted. Jersey Bulls are basically the same. So everyone expected FC Isle of Man to be in the same boat. But, you know, to travel like they had to, the early morning, you know, starts, going on the boat and everything. The training sessions, 6:15, you know, going down to the bowl in the morning and finishing at 7:30, 7:45, and then going to work. It's total commitment. But then you have to, you know, admire the stewards, but admire the organising committee, because I see them down there on a Saturday night, you know, just watching what's going on. The organisation is second to none, and it's a credit to them all for getting it right. Plus, it's a lot of money. People still don't get that the team, Tidal Heath, that have come in tonight, overnight stay as well, that's all paid for by FC Isle of Man. That's one heck of a budget you have to find. So at the start of the season, they're travelling, and now they've got potentially seven home games involved in the league to go. The Cup, I don't know how that works, Dave, whether they've said we'll give up home advantage and play away, because it was just coincidental. I think both Cup games were away. So if they win then, what happens then? I don't know.
They'll have to, if it's a midweek as well, there's no way you would expect.
No,
yeah, exactly.
So. No. They've got work and everything. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But it's been superb. But the crowd numbers, I think no one predicted that. Nobody. And it's a credit to the people on the Isle of Man for going out, enjoying it. It's great watching the kids going round and looking for autographs and stuff like that. You know, Sean Doyle last year, he won the silver boot. The golden boot. He Steve Whitley won Player of the Year. Now, this year, they haven't won anything. And there's kids queuing up there with shirts and whatever to get their signatures on. You would never envisage this 3-4 years ago. What a great sight by Paul Jones and everyone else to make it happen.
Excellent. Okay, Tony. We'll let you go and join Rob Pritchard. Don't forget you can hear commentary live here on Manx Radio AM from around 6:20 with Tony Mepham and Rob Pritchard. You're listening to Saturday Sport Classified.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today or find us on Facebook.
And here with a roundup of today's rugby is Dave Christian. Good evening, Dave.
Yes, good evening. It was always going to be a tough game for Douglas. Fourth place against 12th. The statistical records of the two sides as well was against them. Waterloo were averaging 30 points a game. Douglas were conceding an average of 30 points a game. So it was never going to go their way this afternoon. And it certainly didn't. 69-3. Waterloo led 29-3 at half-time. A Luke Highland penalty was the sum total of Douglas's first-half efforts. In the second half, though, things took a turn for the worse for them, and Waterloo ran in 40 unanswered points. And I think Douglas will want to draw a line under that and move on quite swiftly. They've got Wilmslow at Portishead next Saturday. Wilmslow just a couple of places above them in the standings, and it's going to be probably a much better opportunity for them to pick up some points, particularly at home as well. So, 69-3, disappointing afternoon for them. Not so disappointing, however, for Vagabonds Ladies in Women's NC1 Northwest. They've got back-to-back wins now. They got their first win of the season against Littleborough last week after picking up two away draws. And they beat Littleborough comprehensively in the end. But today it was Halifax's turn. There was a 5-5 draw away at Halifax in freezing cold conditions. Today, much better. Blue sky and sunshine here on the Isle of Man. And Vagabonds picked up the maximum points. The game was tied 12-12 at half-time. Corinna Daly and Jules Harrison going over for Vagabonds tries. Sammy McDonald adding one conversion. In the second half, Becky Dunn and Jess Swales crossed for Vaggers to make the game safe. Becky Dunn, back-to-back scores for her. She scored last week against Littleborough as well. And that win will take Vagabonds up to fifth place in the North West standings, just above Chester Divas, who they face next weekend at Bala Fletcher. The ladies rugby normally strung out its games on alternate weekends, but the fixture goddesses have been kind to Vagabonds, and they've had a run of home games now. It's going to be four on the bounce, and that is giving them a nice little burst of fixtures just to keep going in the new year and try and build a bit of momentum. They're not going to threaten the top end of the table. Preston Grasshoppers are home and hosed pretty much at the top, but Vagabonds could get up to a top three finish if a couple of results go their way. So Chester Divas next week at Bala Fletcher. In the Ravenscroft Manx Cup, no real surprises there. Ramsey were always likely to beat Southern Nomads, and that's exactly what happened. 36-14, the final score down there. That was the game we covered for Saturday Live. Ramsey started off 100 miles an hour. First half tries from Matt Meekin, Adam Dunlop and Stevie Neal, plus two conversions from Dan Richmond. That gave them a 19-0 half-time lead. Nomads briefly flickered into life early in the second half. Ori Watterson crashed over from a tapped penalty. And when Mark Young converted that, the Ramsey lead was down to 12. In a little 5-minute burst, Ramsey ran in three at the other end. Sam Corlett with the first. And the Ramsey flying machine, Brandon Atchison, down his wing. He ran in two in 2 minutes. With one of those being converted by Dan Richmond. That made the game way beyond what Nomads were able to recover from. And they did pick up a late consolation try. Substitute Steve McHugh barged his way over the Ramsey line for a late consolation try. And Mark Young converted that. Young kicking really well this afternoon. Both of those conversions came from wide out at the touchline. And there was a little bit of a breeze down there at Ballykillia as well. So nice kicking from Mark Young. He just didn't quite get the opportunities he needed. And in the other game in the Manx Cup, Douglas Celts picked up their first win. I say that was no surprise. The form book would have suggested a Vagabonds win, but the Celts sort of blow hot and cold depending on availability of players. And today they blew hot. 39-17, the final score down there at Portashee. And for Douglas, Craig Martin, the star of the day, with a hat-trick of tries. And the other scores came from Brody Hewison, Nick Hughes, Danny Creer, Rich Bell, with Brendan Kelly adding one conversion. For Vagabonds, Ian Marks, Callum Murray and Will Taylor all crossed for tries, and there was one conversion from Harry Wallace.
Dave Christian reporting on local rugby. We can talk hockey for the next 5-10 minutes or so. I don't have all the results, unfortunately. Where do we start? Do we start with the Cups or the under-16s? Where do we begin?
Well, let's start with the under-16s. There's a couple of interesting results there.
Yeah, Vikings beating Castletown. Yeah, 4-1 to Vikings against Castletown.
Yeah, and Castletown gave a really good account to themselves. Vikings went 1-0 up and then got half-time 1-0 up, but Castletown came back really, really strong and they look really, really good. Just a couple of things that they need to train, that they need possibly need to get, do some training on, maybe defensive short corners, you know, but you could tell they were getting tired towards the end of the game, and that's when Vikings went for the gullet. Cameron Room with 3, Kyle Gunion on the score sheet, Vikings there, and Castan was Evie Watterson.
Oh, are you still there?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Sorry, you sound like you just dropped out. Okay, and then the game between Valkyries and Ramsey.
Yeah, I said this one might be a close one, and it certainly was. 1-1 at full time. Valkyries, they're still fighting for the title, and with Ramsey pretty much second from bottom. With not many points on the board, it's a really good result for them. Lola Bass on the score sheet for Valkyries and Alex Shimon for Ramsey.
And then Harlequins against Ramsey. Against Backers, sorry.
Yeah, and this is a surprise. Harlequins are top of the league. They were before today, 6 points clear at the top, although Vikings and Valkyries do have a game in hand on Harlequins. Mm-hmm. That gap is now closed to 4 points because Backers managed to beat them 3-1. I haven't got the Harlequins goal scorer, but Backers goal scorers were Ashley Schroeder, Lucy Cartwright and Sienna Millwood. Huge result for backers. Harlequins, it tightens that gap at the top of the table, potentially to 2 points, depending on how well Vikings and Valkyries do with their games in hand.
So great performances then in the under-16s. We move on to the MHA Men's Cup and Vikings winning 3-0 against Ramsey.
Yeah, Vikings missing a couple of players today, but they had a good, strong core in that squad. Kept a clean sheet as well. Dom Hubble, Stephen Crowe and Stephen Roan, and then into the semi-finals.
And the other game, I don't have a score for Valkyries and Backers.
Yeah, that was a late fixture. So Valkyries a 2, Backers a 3. Backers A were 3-0 up at half time. But unfortunately, fortunately for them, they managed to hold off. Ollie Webster with 2 goals in the last 5 minutes. They just left their comeback slightly too late.
And then
Backers A with a bye straight into the final.
Excellent. Okay, so on to the MHA Women's Cup and a 4-2 win for Valkyries over Vikings.
Yeah, and the closer than I thought it would be, but Vikings A's goal scorers are Katie Eric, Zoe Crowe, Sarah Blackman, Imogen Manning and Angie Littlejohn's on the score sheet of Valkyries A, who seem to be improving.
Okay, and the other game between Ramsey and Backers.
Yeah, there is another game, sorry, in this...
The Valkyries B beating Castletown 2-1. Sorry, my apologies, yeah.
And I have to nail this one as the result of the weekend. Valkyries B, they struggled in the league all season. They managed to get their first points last week or the week before, which was a point against Ramsey. And then they've come into the cup, and this is, because of the numbers involved, there's a bye in the semi-final, which Valkyries B have managed to get. And Valkyries B are now in the final, having beaten a team that I presumed would beat them fairly easily. Massive result for Valkyries B. Lifts their season right back up again. And hopefully they can use this now to fight for their survival. Goal scorers, Lisa Pugh and Bobby Hemsel on the score sheet for Valkyries B. And Castan A is Helena Allen.
And then Ramsey against Backers.
Another turn up for the Bucks, although not as much as the surprise of Valkyries B that I honestly can't talk enough about. But Ramsey A, I thought Backers A would have this one in the bag, but maybe they're just missing a couple of players. Ramsey A, they go into the semi-final. They do take on Vikings A, and I can't see anybody beating them. But they get a semi-final. They've got a good result today. Julie Chesterton and Lucy Simpson on the score sheet there.
And then on to the MHA men's plate, Vikings C against Backers B.
Yeah, and this is probably my second result of the weekend that I think is just outstanding. Backers B, they're fighting for the title in Division 1. They've been fighting with Castan A all season. Backers B went ahead, I believe. Vikings C managed to bring it back in the second half to lead 2-1. Backers B managed to get the leveller. Goal scorers before full time are Braden Masterton and Ashley Osborne. Back of Vikings, Backers B's goal scorers are James Leeson and Jason Miranda. Will Vikings win 4-2 on penalty strokes and take that bye into the final?
Excellent. And the game, sorry, the previous one, the Women's Cup, Ramsey against Backers, what was the score for that one in the end?
Oh, sorry, 2-0 to Ramsey A.
That was 2-0 to Ramsey A. Okay, so staying with the MHA men's plate and Harlequins against Castletown B.
Yeah, big result here. Harlequins 11, Castletown B 1. Castletown B's goal scorer is Daniel Cross. He seems to always seem to get at least one goal for them. But Ronan Santanatolia with 6 goals, Paul Nuttall with 3, Oren Blakemore and Callum Crellin on the score sheet for Harlequins A. When they started this season, Harlequins were short on form, but they've shot right back up. They've had some huge results over the past few weeks. They have a semi-final against Castan A, and one thing is for sure, Castan A are going to have to be on their top form to overcome this Harlequins A side.
So confirm that result again, please.
11-1 to Harlequins A.
And then on to the MHA women's plate, and Harlequins with a 10-1 win over Ramsey B.
Yeah, Lizzie Quayle on the score sheet for Ramsey B. Harlequins goal scores is a few. Rachel Middleton with 5, then Ella Blakemore, Lucy Pacey, Kerry Williams, Patricia McMullen and Amy Ratcliffe on the score sheet for Harlequins A. And one thing that bodes well for them is they can get promoted in the league season is they seem to have goal scorers throughout the squad. And Harlequins do take the bye into the final. They are the favourites by a long, long way.
And the final fixture was Backers B against Vikings C.
That was 6-0 to Backers B. Vikings C playing a league below. They did struggle for some personnel today. A couple of players had to drop out late notice. Backers B, goal scorers are Iona Bridges, Ellie Pearson, Ellie Harris, Joe Hicks, Sam Franklin and Leah Mellor. They do have a tough fixture in the semi-final, though, with Backers B taking on Castown B in the semi-finals.